All right, Bernard and Jay, whichever one of you wants to talk, Bernard.
Hi. I'll let a husband go first. What am I doing?
Well, that's not fair. That is not a fair thing. Okay, Walter, tell us what you and Bernard are doing. Okay.
Well, we're just sitting here chatting with. We're in Maui, and the weather's beautiful here.
I know. That's what we talked about last time, and that's not fair. I'm in Chicago, and a lot of most of us are not in good areas right now where they have beautiful weather. Okay, you want to say?
I've got beautiful weather in Texas.
You have good weather. Oh, Lindsay, you have good weather?
Yeah.
Walter is in the real estate business, and I'm a writer. I'm actually writing my memoirs, and it's called A Heron Boy Saga. It's going to be 5 to 7 books, depending on, how I get on by the end of the fourth book. I'm writing my fourth book right now. So, and there is a producer that's interested in turning that my saga into a movie. So
that'd be great.
That's where I'm at right now.
Well, you have a lot going on in your life and in your books. So I think that would lead to somebody wanting to do that. So I'm sure that could possibly be a very good thing. I think you're going to probably get that.
I hope so.
And you are an avid, I see you out there. You're an avid marketer. Oh, my God. You are out there all the time.
We all do our best.
And you do. I see you out there. I see everybody out there. Okay. All right. Let's see. Melissa? I feel like we're in school
here.
Okay, Melissa. And you're a teacher. There we go. Okay. Go ahead.
My name is Melissa Keir, and I write sizzling small-town romances, and I currently have over 10 books out. Some are in box sets, and some are on their own, and my books feature the people you would find in a small town or on your street and down the road from you.
Okay. I just opened the chat room. Okay. And I will say the number that you can call, I'm going to say, because I have trouble, and I've been saying this at every show, I have trouble when I go in to listen to shows. So sometimes you can call in, and if you don't want, I won't answer the phone, because I do that a lot of times, because sometimes you can't get in through the regular channels, and the chat room is open, because once you do click on that little arrow when you see about the show, then if you scroll down, you could see the chat room. And I opened it, so... And this is not okay. And so the phone number to call if you have a question, 714-242-5259, if you want to call in or you just want to listen in. And if I do answer the phone on the switchboard, just don't answer me, and then I won't ask, I'll just let you sit there. Because I do that a lot on people's shows, because I think sometimes you cannot hear the show. And when it's on demand, you can hear it. I don't know, Elizabeth, do you have that problem? Sometimes people can't come in and hear.
Yeah, that's how that's.
Because it takes a very long time to load. That's really what it is. All right, so the chat room is open. And if I don't, And I will say my usual thing, one thing before we go on, is that World of Ink is looking for people that would like to do the chat room and help out on the shows, because sometimes it's hard to do both. And we used to have a lot of people that were doing the chats, but now we don't. And because everybody's really busy and they're watching all the series on TV. So, okay, I see there's some people. Everybody's, okay, there we go. Okay, everybody's in the chat room. They're in the chat room. Okay, William, you want to say who you are?
Sure, why not?
And you have your own show, too, so don't forget to say what show you have.
Oh, don't forget. Okay. William Lopez, I have my own show, which I co-host every Wednesday afternoon at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with JoJo
Crockett,
who's the head of Vampire Wear. Yeah, right, JoJo Crockett. I have over 200 books traditionally published, probably in just about every genre. And if people are really interested, there is a reference book, as a matter of fact, that lists most of them up at least through 2011. And there's been more since then. So, I mean, I've got erotica, gay and straight.
You do.
I've got cozy mysteries. Yeah, three Harlequin
and
super romances.
And cookbooks.
Yep, 7 cookbooks, a movie script, a play.
Children's book. You had one?
Yeah. Yeah, oh, that's right. There's a children's book. That's right.
Yeah,
As a matter of fact, when there was whenever there's a genre that I don't have, I tried to fill it in. So there are very few.
Right.
There are very few that I haven't written. So, yeah.
Right. That's exactly right. So there we go. Okay.
That's it, Marcia.
Yeah, I know. All right. Lindsay?
Good evening, Marcia. And Melissa and Elizabeth and everybody else.
Okay, hi.
I'm Lindsay Downs. I write Regency Cozy Mystery and Regency Romantic Suspense. I am a transplant from Connecticut, and I live currently in Central Texas, and am allergic to the Texas oak and Texas cedar. So if you hear me coughing, it's because my allergies are acting up.
Okay. I would say drink tea and honey. Works.
Right now I'm sucking on a throat lozenge.
Okay.
And right now it's 67 degrees. Tomorrow it's supposed to be 77 degrees here in Texas, where I live. And I love it.
Yeah. It's not 67 here. It's not close. It's like 12 or something like that here.
It's either 6 or 7 now.
Melissa's in Ohio. So, right? Oh, you're in Ohio, right?
Michigan.
Michigan. You're in one of our states here in this freezing weather.
Freezing.
Yeah. And Elizabeth.
I've got
18
books out right now.
Wow.
And most of them are novellas. I do tend to write the novella length up to 40K, but I also will be releasing in April a full, which is an 89K plus book. Which Melissa will be formatting for me for not only print but ebook.
That's
Melissa
great.
Melissa is my formatter, and I found her through a friend of mine, through a friend of ours, actually. And
Melissa's very talented. She does. She has a lot of things going on. She hasn't been on for a while. She's very good.
She did such a great job with the first three books in my Rogues and Raquel series, which I have with Touchpoint Romance, and for formatting and for print, and currently in a bookstore in the town next door to me, Round Rock. And I love having her do my formatting for me. She nails it. Melissa, you nail it.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's good to know that. I did not know you did that. I don't know why I didn't know you did that. Did you're doing that more now? Well, now you have more time than you did before, so that's...
Yeah, I've got more time, and since I've been able to, it kind of word of mouth, friends tell friends, and kind of how it happens.
So you're formatting, but you're not editing. You're formatting.
Formatting,
are you editing? You're editing, too.
No, I'm not doing editing.
Okay.
I'm just doing formatting.
Okay, all right. I just know because if people ask me, so then I'll know that you're formatting, okay? Because people do ask, a lot, who does what. All right, so let's have a party now. Now everybody got everything out. Anybody else want to say anything else? All right, so now let's party time. All right, okay. What we're going to talk about is, how about we'll start with, I'm not sure. Okay, why don't somebody read first, and then we're going to see, we'll have one person read, and then we're going to talk about kind of that genre, because everybody does a little, everybody on the show today is not the same. So I think one of the things that people don't realize is that authors that, write romance, erotica, regency, whatever you do, it's not the same. And, there's so many different styles of it, and some have more sex, some have no, not everybody has sex, but all books have sex, mostly, the mysteries and, thrillers. So I think that that's one of the things that people say when they don't want to read a certain book, they'll say like, oh, I don't read that kind, but that's not really fair. You should try to give every book a chance. I mean, even if you've never read one of the genres, don't just say no to it. Just get one book. You can buy an e-book and, you know, and see how it is, because a lot of the stories are good, because I know a lot of people say, oh, I don't read erotica, but it's a story with sex. So going on that notion, let's have Elizabeth, who has you won some awards, but you do a lot of different things. So what are you gonna? What was your plan to read tonight? Because you're the one you wanted to read,
okay.
I know that.
Yeah, I'm going to read from, this is from my erotic romance novel that's going to be published in August. It's called Alex Craig Has a Threesome, and it's going to be published around August by Excite Books in the UK. And a portion of the first two chapters of the book will also appear in Best Female Fantasy Erotica 2016, published by Cleus Press, and that's going to come out at about the same time. And, okay, this book is corporate erotica with plenty of food porn. It also resembles billionaire erotica, but the characters are not billionaires, but they act like them.
Okay.
And to kind of lead into the reading, Alex Craig is applying for a job with Babes, a company that makes high-end expensive sex dolls. This company isn't an ordinary sex toys company. The corporate culture is all about enjoying la dolce vita and focusing on pleasures of all sorts, whether sexual, food and drink, or other exciting delights. Okay, Alex is sitting in a waiting room with many other women applying for the same job, and now I'm getting to the reading. And to keep this a PG-13, I trimmed some of the content.
Okay.
Okay. After she finished filling out the application, she signed and dated it. A tall redhead walked out of Babe's main corporate office. The woman's face was a mask, and it was hard to read her expression. Alex didn't know from looking at her how her interview went. She could tell the woman was a model, since models were good at mastering the aloof look. A classy woman in a tailored black suit stood in the open doorway to the Babe's main corporate office. Her face was ashen with shock as she stared at Alex. "You, come in here. Now." Her deep voice resounded around the room, making heads turn. Alex wondered what she had done wrong. Everyone in the room stared at her with both envy and mirth as she very self-consciously crossed the room. She felt clumsy, tottering about in her stiletto fuck-me pumps and carrying her oversized portfolio. The woman closed the door behind her when Alex entered the office. Two men, one of them being Rod Tyler, to whom Alex had recognized from photos on the company internet website, stared at her open-mouthed. "I told you, isn't the resemblance incredible?" The gorgeous man who had spoken to her in the lobby gave her the once-over for a second time, and she felt as if he ravished her again with his eyes. "Oh, my holy sweet Jesus," Rod Tyler said in a soft, low voice. Alex froze, feeling the intense gaze from all around her. The only part of her body that moved were her eyes. The only other part that moved was her butterfly. Those intense vibrations and standing in full view of their scrutiny aroused her like never before. Her gaze flitted from the man who spoke with such honeyed warmth to Tyler and to the woman. Tyler's eyes, on the other hand, were on the move, gazing from her hair to her face to her breasts, waist, hips, and legs. He stared pointedly at her breasts. She resisted the urge to button her jacket. She was used to being given the full body once over by men, but getting it in such a blunt fashion during a job interview was a little unsettling, but alluring. "This is the most unusual job interview I've ever had, and I wonder how much more enticing it will get." "Please don't be alarmed, miss," Tyler said. "Craig, Alexandra Craig. Please call me Alex." "We're being rude. Alex, please have a seat." He swept one arm towards a leather chair in front of his desk. Alex sat down. "I'm Rod Tyler, owner, president, and CEO of Babes. Elena Carter and Jackson Beal are my VPs. Please pardon the way the three of us are gaping at you open-mouthed. May I have your application, please?" She handed him the paper. Looking down, he pursed his lips while he read it. He stood above her from behind his desk in a clear position of authority and power he enjoyed wielding before his minions. Good on hair." He inspected her head. She felt as if she were a prized cow being appraised by a 4-H committee. "I haven't seen corkscrews in years. Very becoming. I like your look. It's one we'll have to consider for Danielle." She wondered who Danielle was. A spokesmodel? Another executive? Alex had been introduced to everyone in the room, but no one was named Danielle. He read further. "Oh, very good taste in food. You have a discerning palate. We have access to all your favorites, so see us when you get a craving for venison or gourmandise. You can travel. Good. Nice women's names you've chosen. I like Angelina Jolie, too. She's hot. I'm sure your fiction will be published in time. We have connections here." "Isn't the resemblance uncanny?" Elena Carter whispered. She stood a few paces behind Alex next to Jackson Beal. Alice could see neither one of them, but she felt their professional scrutiny on every curve of her body. She hoped the back of her suit wasn't too badly rumpled from squirming in that uncomfortable chair in the waiting room. Yes, indeed, the resemblance is blowing my mind. It's like seeing Danielle in the flesh, live and speaking to me. Danielle, Alex asked. By now she was completely confused, but curious as to whom this mysterious Danielle could be. Hold on. Okay, paper stuck. Got it. Danielle is the latest top-of-the-line model. Yes? Oh, okay. She hasn't even been released yet. Jackson's disembodied voice sang from behind her. Have you ever modeled for us? No. Yes. Well, you had a call about a year ago for head and body shots to use on your dolls. I sent you a few and promptly forgot about them. That must be it then, Tyler said. It's so strange seeing you here after working on Danielle for so long. Also, he glanced at her application and raised his eyebrows. Under the sex toys question you wrote, you should see which one I brought with me. It's one of my favorites, and it feels so good. Are you saying what I think you're saying? Alex crossed her legs and tilted her head to one side in a coy position. It does. I'm wearing a butterfly. It's my favorite toy. Jackson shifted from behind her. You're wearing a sex toy. Right now. The arousal in his fevered voice made her squirm in her chair. I like you more and more every minute, Tyler said. So do I, Jackson said. What do you think? Is she the one? I like her very much, Elena said. She sold me on her talent to begin with, but the sex toy was a nice and unexpected touch, Jackson said. He continued to speak from behind her, out of eyesight. Not seeing him made their conversation even more thrilling, since she imagined the bald expression of lust and interest on his handsome face. I agree. She has proven she enjoys decadence as much as we do. You can count me in. In that case, Elena, would you be so kind as to fetch Danielle? Tyler said. I'm sure Alex would like to meet her. Alex, the job is yours if you want it. But you haven't. It's mine? I don't understand. Tyler laughed. It was a friendly laugh, but the sound of it left Alex with a disturbing feeling that she was the unsuspecting victim of a delicious prank. Really, Alex, it's quite all right. I have already reviewed your resume when you mailed it earlier this month before you set up your interview. Your credentials are impeccable. She heard the door open behind her. Tyler reached into his desk and brought out an employment contract. He held the contract out to her along with a fancy stone-encrusted pen. She took both. The job is yours. Please read the contract and sign at the bottom. Don't forget the date, but first, there's someone I'd like you to meet. Turn around. She did and was shocked to see her doppelganger sitting in a chair behind her. Alex, meet Danielle. The latest not-yet-released top-of-the-line babes model could have been her changeling, left by playful sprites in her crib 20 years ago when her mother wasn't looking. She dressed in an expensive pinstripe suit. The miniskirt barely reached Danielle's butt. My butt. She has my ass. Danielle's hair was the same auburn shade as her own, but it was cut in a long page boy. Alex's corkscrew hair fell to her elbows. Danielle's breasts were two cups larger than her own. A well of cleavage plunged beneath the blouse, which was unbuttoned to the doll's sternum. She felt strangely exhilarated. How do you like Danielle, Alex? Jackson asked. I like her. It's a little uncanny looking into my own face. It's like looking into a mirror. I can think some of improvements, though, Alex said tentatively, hoping she wasn't being too forward. I'd love to hear a few suggestions. Give me a few, Jackson said. Give her bedroom eyes. Her gaze won't look so staring if you do that. Make her eyelids bigger. Give her a dreamy look. I like that, Jackson said. One problem we've had is that the dolls do seem to stare. We've tried everything. We changed the shape of the eyes, the colors. Nothing seems to work. I hadn't thought of the eyelids. That's a wonderful suggestion. You're doing great, Alex. Any other suggestions? May I touch her? And that's it.
Okay, there you go. All right, anybody on the show, you know, you can ask. Does anybody want to ask Elizabeth a question or talk about the genre? Anybody out there? Because, you know, we're not in the same room, so if you want to, please feel free to. Any questions? Okay. All right, we'll move on. Okay. All right, and you do a lot of different genres. So this is another company that you're with. Do you have anything else with them?
This is with Excite Books. I already have I have four short stories out with them. They were aside of Scarlet Magazine, which is also out of the UK. Excite is the first publisher to publish any of my stories. They published my second story, and it appears in the anthology. And Cleus Press is publishing the short story version. And I have one story out with them called Like a Breath of Ocean Blue, which is in their I think it's Best Lesbian Romance anthology, which was published last year.
Does anybody out here do? You do a lot of stories. I noticed that. Melissa, do you do stories?
No, mostly. I mean, at minor more novella length, but then I've got my musings, which were my first writing.
Yeah, because most. Yeah, because I, you know, I keep saying I'm going to do that. You know, like a lot of people do write a lot of stories. Bernard, do you do short stories or stories?
Yeah. Okay. Well, let me just introduce a little bit about what what Walter is going to read. He's going to read an excerpt from Book 2, A Herring Boy Saga, Unbridled. And it's about my adolescent years when I was stationed in Abu Dhabi when I was inducted into a clandestine society. And this is a little excerpt of how or when I met a prince of Bahrain and the situation or circumstances as how I met him. So I'll pass it on to Walter to read the excerpt.
This segment, this chapter is about his performance as a how do you say it?
Barish. As a dancing boy, as a performing dancing boy.
And he was actually bid on by the prince. Okay, so this part is called My Bidder and I.
Okay.
By the time the guest had bid our host farewell, I was soaking in a luxurious bath at the Maktoub. Andy, entering our bath chamber, announced that my highest bidder had summoned me to his suite. He was an overweight guest at Al Fayoum, a guest suite in the Sekum. Accompanying me to Al Fayoum, my valet said, I have a prognostication that your highest bidder is of royal descent. Before he continued, we had arrived at the chamber's large wooden entrance. A burly Arab gentleman answered the door. Directing us into the beautifully decorated living room, he told us to wait as he proceeded to inform his master of our arrival. A suave man in his early 30s entered wearing a white bathrobe. In perfect English, he greeted Andy and me before leaning across to give my valet a traditional nose-rubbing salutation. When it came my turn, a whiff of eucalyptus greeted my nostrils as he lowered his nose to mine. What transpired next was beyond my comprehension. My bidder was tickling my nose with the tip of his tongue before savoring my delicate lips, tantalizing my boyish naivete towards his masculine musculature. At once enchanted by the smell of fresh eucalyptus and intrigued by his beguiling protocol, I was breezed by such forwardness and at a loss for words. Releasing me, my bidder showed us to a comfortable sofa before he took the love seat opposite my guardian and me. He said, smiling, "Young man, you're an excellent dancer. Will you be my private dancer?" I thanked him for the compliment and kept silent, not knowing how to respond to his request, when he continued, "What's your name?" Before I could reply, my guardian spoke on my behalf. "His name is Young, Your Highness." Stunned by my valet's royal address, I looked at him, speechless, while he continued, "Sir, my charge is at your service. Shall I leave the two of you and wait outside? My bidder spoke arbitrarily. Stay. I'll like you to do me a favor. Andy answered. How may I be of service, Your Highness? Oh, you don't have to be so formal. Address me as P. I know you are looking after Young, and the wazir told me the two of you are lovers. I like to watch you make love to this bacha. It'll arouse me greatly, announced the Arab. Before Andy could respond, P motioned me to sit by his side. Sitting close, he bends towards my neck and inhaled my adolescent aroma deeply, as if savoring the sweetness of a newborn. Whispering softly in my ear, he uttered, Ah, the intoxicating beauty of youth, as described by the prophet. Round about them will serve to them boys handsome as pearls well guarded. Quran 52:24. Gently nibbling my earlobes, he eased his thirsty lips down my neck before sinking his pearly fangs as if drawing delicious nectar like a honeybee. Intoxicated by my master's vampire's guise, shocks of electric currents vibrated down my arching spine. I willingly offered my bacha innocence to this erotic aristocrat for his inerrant enjoyment. French kisses filled my urgent provocation as his desires rendered me helpless, and Andy's tantalizing repose replaced my bidder's sweet attraction. Laying me on the love seat, P's obsessive glare stirred my uninhibited longing for my lover's unbridled manhood. Willingly, I surrendered to my lover's sensuality before his consecrated erection encased me in a cocoon of sacramental love. Our glowing auras merged into a halo of sexual unity, bonding our sacred Eucharist, igniting a fiery passion of unimaginable bliss, and filling our bodies with flowing essence of milky love. P, the voyeur, sat enamored, watching a love story unfold that was as old as the creation of man. Seduced by our tantalizing nakedness, my bidder dared himself to enter our homoerotic realm, a realm that defined time and space, and only providence was left to forfeit active participation. Nothing but our lustful releases could satisfy our overwhelming genital hunger. When the cocks crowed trays, we savored our afterglow from the rising sun. This bachabazi was a splendid reminder of Mario, Andy, and me floating on a private gondola in Venusia's Grand Canal. I was already infatuated with my bidder before morning broke.
That's it.
Wow. Okay, I feel like this is like 50 Shades of World of Ink or something like this. What can I, you know, you know what, I've not heard you speak like that, Walter. You know, really, that, you know, your voice is really good to read, you know, and because, you know, I'm with the audiobooks. You know, do you have audiobooks on that?
Well, Walter sings in a choir. He's a tenor.
Ah.
There is an audio book of the first, you know, the first book, book one. There will be an audio book of the second one.